As we light the peace candle, we are reminded that Christ's coming brings peace to our hearts, peace to the world, and peace with God. The peace we celebrate today is not just the absence of conflict, but the presence of Christ, the Prince of Peace, who reconciled us to God and calls us to be peacemakers in a broken world. Hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. The peace we long for begins with us. It grows in our homes and extends into the world around us. In the birth of Jesus, God gave us the ultimate gift of peace, peace that surpasses understanding and anchors us in hope, even in uncertain times.
Thank you, Pastor Charlie. Well, if you haven't guessed yet, we're talking about peace this morning. It's the second Sunday of Advent. It's the Peace Sunday, and we started a new series last week called The Gifts of Christmas, and we're talking about Christmas gifts, not in the traditional sense, but to get us started, I want to talk about Christmas gifts in the traditional sense. So, when you were a child, you can probably remember what Christmas gift was the one that everybody had to have. And if you've been around long enough, you might remember several of the hottest gifts to hit the shelves during Christmas time. Not only when you were a kid, but maybe when you're shopping for your kids, or maybe even when you're shopping for your grandkids. So all the way back in 1932, Legos hit the shelf for the first time. Which is crazy because I got Legos as a kid and I was not alive in 1932. Then in 1958, Barbie came out. She made her debut in stores and was all the rage for all the little girls at that point. And then in 1968, Hot Wheels showed up and everybody had to have Hot Wheels. Then in 1974, the Rubik's Cube was the best-selling gift. Can you believe that? 1974 had to be the most bored kids in the history of the planet, right? Recorded history, 1974, I'm so sorry. The Rubik's Cube is the best thing. I'd rather have a rock, I think. Anyway, so in 1982, out came Cabbage Patch Kids, right? They took over. Remember those? Yeah, yeah. What about in 1989, the Nintendo Game Boy was released, and that was all the rage. Again, the graphics, just incredible. You could see a thing moving across the screen, but you weren't sure exactly what it was. And every game looked the same, right? They're all just black and white, everything moving around. And then in 1995, a movie called Toy Story came out, and Buzz Lightyear was all the rage, right? Not just in the movie, but also in real life. Everybody, every little kid had to have a Buzz Lightyear. And I think we all remember the day in 1998 when the Furby came out and it haunted everyone's dreams for the rest of the year. Now, maybe you are a recipient of one or more of these gifts, and maybe your Furby is still waking you up at night with its creepy voice. I think kids these days are too soft to have a Furby, I think. Right? Maybe that's what's wrong with everybody my age. Whew. Whatever your relation to this list of gifts, or Christmas gifts at all for that matter, maybe you didn't receive any of these, I guess be grateful for it, I think. But whatever your relation to these gifts, we've all received gifts that are far better than anything on this list. Now, through the Advent or the arrival of Jesus, we've received these five specific gifts. It's hope, peace, joy, love, and then the presence of Jesus. And so today we're going to talk about one of those gifts specifically, and that is the gift of peace. So This Advent season, we're reminded that peace is not just the absence of conflict, but it's a gift from Jesus. It's the Prince of Peace who entered our world that was in turmoil to bring peace with God and peace within ourselves. And this promise of peace to come. And so today the goal is to embrace the peace that Jesus offers, the peace that surpasses all understanding. It guards our hearts and our minds as we trust in Him, both now and then in the future when His peace will reign completely. So that's where we're going today. So when thinking about the word peace, what comes to mind when you hear the word peace? Did any of you happen to imagine these three symbols? Any of these? Well, these three symbols or these three images are very different, but they're all recognizable signs of peace. Now, interestingly, not one of these signs was developed because of an abundance of peace, right? These signs didn't come out because the world is so peaceful that we wanted to just have a symbol for it, right? They came out in the need for peace, a desperate need for peace. Now, here's some quick summaries about each of them. We know what we know is the traditional peace sign, the one at the, I'm opposite you guys, so your top left. It was first developed by this British artist and activist named Gerald Holtham in 1958. And the emblem was based on this flag semaphore movements for two letters. The letter N, which is the two flags pointed down the angles, and then D, which is one up and one down. And so these letters actually, ND, stood for nuclear disarmament. The symbol was used in Britain to protest the making of nuclear weapons. Now, when it was brought to America, it was used for broader purposes, such as the civil rights movement, and then later as an anti-war symbol by those who opposed the war in Vietnam. And what about the two fingers in the V shape? That'd be on your right. The two fingers in the V shape, it was actually started as a sign of victory and not peace. Resistance fighters in German-occupied territories used this symbol as a symbol of strength during World War II. The British Prime Minister Winston Churchill adopted it to stand for English victory, and when it eventually came to stand for the end of conflict. So later in the 1960s, it was adopted as an anti-war symbol by Americans who opposed war. Now, far as the dove and the olive branch goes, this has been used by many traditions throughout history, but the Christian symbolism comes from the Old Testament account of Noah, right? He builds the ark and floats around for 40 days and 40 nights, and it comes to a rest, and he sends out this dove, and it comes back with an olive branch, and it was symbolizing that the waters had receded and that land was near. It was a sign of the promise of peace after the storm of God's judgment. And so while we're typically quick to associate peace with these symbols in our minds, not one of these symbols were actually born out of peace. As you can see, all these images came because of a desperate need for peace in the midst of conflict or unrest. So while these images are helpful and the stories behind them are inspiring, the symbols themselves are not peace, right? I can do this as much as I want, but that doesn't mean that peace abounds. Peace is defined as freedom from disturbance or tranquility. So a state where there is no disturbance or a state of tranquility. But it's often in situations that are exactly the opposite of that, right? It's in the times that it's not tranquil that we most recognize our need for peace and for the power of peace that God provides. And so our need for peace is easily recognized in the presence of noise and suffering and conflict. We've had our fair share of that, haven't we? These last several years, peace has been pretty difficult to come by in this world of ours. In our country alone, we've had so much conflict and division. We've had a pandemic. We've had protests. Basically, you name it, and it feels like we've been through it in the last 5 years. Now, the great thing about the story of Christmas and the Advent season is that the same world we live in today is the same world that Jesus came to. And believe me, it was just as chaotic and tumultuous 2,000 years ago. So when Jesus arrived, even though we sing songs to commemorate this event like Silent Night, that original night was not very silent. The world was not at peace. There was a divide between God and people. There was a conflict among families and nations, and it was tumultuous politically, and Rome was in an oppressive leadership role over Israel. There was a demanding physical travel forced on not just Mary and Joseph, but all the people of that region, right? Going for a census that was mandated by Rome. There was unrest in the hearts of many Israelites living under this Roman oppression. They're waiting for the Messiah, right? 400 years of just, when is this going to happen? But in the midst of all this, Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Messiah, was, one is, I guess, many things that the prophet Isaiah foretold. In Isaiah 9:6, like we heard earlier, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." But it's important to remember that Jesus is not just a symbol of peace, right? He himself is peace. And that Prince of Peace offers us this gift of peace this Advent season. In fact, peace was a big part of his original birth announcement, right? Luke 2, verses 13 and 14 says, "Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" So the word Advent means arrival. And the season is marked by expectation and by waiting and anticipation and longing. Advent's not just an extension of Christmas. It's a season that links the past and the present and the future together. Now, Advent offers us this opportunity to share in this ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, and then to celebrate his birth, and then also be alert for his second coming. It bridges all three of those things together. And we talked about that last week, but we'll build on it a little bit. Now, during Advent, we light candles on a wreath. And Pastor Charlie walked us through that earlier. These candles represent aspects of Jesus' coming to a lost world in darkness. As we celebrate with our own Advent wreath this season, we'll light an additional candle each week. And each flame brings us closer to the arrival of Jesus, who was the true light of the world, right? Literally lighting the world. He was born in Bethlehem. Now, hopefully, you can feel the excitement building. In just a few weeks, on Christmas Eve, we're going to light the last candle to represent the presence of Jesus with us. But today, we lit the second candle, the candle of peace. So Advent is a season for allowing God's peace to infiltrate our hearts and our minds as we experience his arrival at Christmas and wait until his eventual return. So, this is a great time, a great season to recognize Jesus as our peace. Really, our world isn't that much different from the one that Jesus stepped into a couple thousand years ago. We're certainly more technologically advanced, right? But the main thing that seemed to accomplish for us is convenience, fast-paced living, ultimately comparison, anxiety, depression, and stress, right? It's a good thing that technology has done for us. Now, the pace of our life compared to when Jesus stepped into this world is vastly, vastly different. They walked everywhere. There wasn't, lighting and indoor plumbing. I mean, in different worlds in that way. But this pace is the main thing that I think that most of us feel in a very real way. Now, the scenery and process of our daily life may look different from Mary and Joseph's, but we still strive and struggle to thrive and even exist sometimes. Our world is still filled with wars and violence, and governments and politicians still exist, and we still have division and unrest. Now, don't hear this as ungrateful. We have a mountain of things to be thankful for. Things like our community, our country, our very lives. Also, things like medical advancements and vehicles and indoor plumbing and air conditioning. Electricity, right? Those are things that Oh, thank God for technology. What would we do without that? However, these advancements in the way that they've shifted our culture and our lifestyles, it makes peace a little harder to find sometimes. So that's why we're here today. We need an experience of peace. Now, during this Advent season, we recognize a deep need to reset our hearts and our minds and to be still and to listen and to wait. Now, peace is the theme of this Advent Sunday, and so today we're going to look at three ways that we see peace manifested in our lives. Now, the first one is peace with God. Peace with God. Now, maybe you've seen this saying on like a shirt or on a bumper sticker, but it says, no God, no peace, but then the N-O is highlighted. So, meaning, no God and no peace, but also, if there is no God, there is no peace. It, like many short sayings, you know, it sounds cliche, but there's actually a lot of truth there. When we know God, we can experience peace because of who Christ is and what he did in coming to earth, and living among us, dying on the cross, and resurrecting to defeat sin and death. It's easy for us to associate his life work with salvation, right? And it should be, because that's what it was. But the Apostle Paul made it very clear in Romans 5, knowing that God is not just about salvation, but about peace as well. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. So Jesus brings and also allows peace with God, with our Creator. Our first priority as a Christian, then, when it relates to peace, is being at peace with God, right? Our sin naturally separates us from God. And from the time we entered the world in the Garden of Eden, humans have been at odds with God. Or since the time sin entered the world, not we, right? There was a time that we weren't at odds with God. But our sin and his holiness aren't compatible. They're not at peace. They're in conflict with each other. It's the reason God sent Jesus to earth that first Christmas. And through Jesus, we're justified by grace through faith. And when we believe in Jesus, we repent of our sin and we accept his salvation and forgiveness. Then that brings about peace with God. The barriers and the conflict of sin that used to stand in the way of us and God are removed. And so we're made right with him in unity. We're made right with him in identity and in purpose. Now this brings about peace between us and God because we no longer have the roadblock of sin in the way. That's what Christmas did for us. That's the purpose, or one of the purposes of Christmas. So eternal peace with our Creator is the greatest gift we can receive this season. Even better than a Furby, right? My hope is that we would all experience the reality of this peace that we receive through Jesus, not just during this Advent season, but through eternity. So the second thing, or the second manifestation of peace in our lives, is peace within. This is a big one, right? There's many areas of peace that we receive, but I think in the light of Advent, like we talked about, being this bridge that connects the past and the present and the future together, we're going to address our peace within. And this is an attempt to look at, kind of like we did last week with hope, past, present, and future. This is our attempt to look at peace in the present. I think a lot of times we feel unrest within ourselves. But fortunately, God also knows the unrest that we feel within ourselves. He made you. He knows your deepest thoughts. He knows all your hurts. He knows all your joys. He knows all your desires. And he knows your need for peace within. He also knows the broken world that is surrounding you. He's not surprised by whatever you're up against. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Whatever we're walking into, God's not surprised by. I'm surprised constantly, right? Every day I get surprised. God's not surprised by any of it. It's tough not to worry, to be in turmoil within ourselves sometimes. But the gift of peace through Christmas is the gift of freedom from that. Now, that's not to say everything we're up against just disappears, right? It doesn't. It doesn't. But now we have someone who walks through it with us, who can actually handle what we're dealing with, someone that we can pass our worries off to. It's a pretty good gift, right? So Philippians 4, 5 through 7 says this: "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." What a promise, right? What a promise is that? But also, what a great practice that is for us. If we believe in Scripture, then we believe that there's a powerful gift of peace waiting for us. Now, this passage says that God's peace transcends all understanding. It defies the word or the world, and it defies our circumstances. It fills us when everything going around us is not conducive to peace. You ever been there? A lot of things in life that aren't conducive to peace. That's when it fills us. In other words, it shows itself most strongly in circumstances where peace just does not make sense. Now, maybe that's in the midst of a tragedy or an illness. Maybe it's in the middle of a conflict or heartache. And no matter how bad your situation is, God is there with you. He's offering the gift of peace that is stronger than whatever difficulty you face. So, this peace of God is calm and it's restorative, but it's also strong and active. It has the power to guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I think that one thing that's interesting about this verse is that we often take it as this type of formula, right? If I'm just, every situation, I just prayer and petition with thanksgiving, I present my request to God, and then my anxiety is gone, right? And it's this formula that we follow. But I don't think it was intended to be that way. If we can just manage to pray and thank God and ask Him about everything, then we'll receive God's peace. But while Paul's describing those actions, he's talking about them as part of a practice of peace. This is not an automatic formula. You see, God gave the gift of peace in the form of a person, right? In the form of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And at the beginning of this passage, verse 5 says, "The Lord is near," right? A precursor to all that stuff. The Lord is near. That's why we need not be anxious about anything. He's the reason we have peace within. He is God with us. He's this God that offers us the gift of peace beyond understanding. It guards our hearts and our minds in Him. And as we practice, right, the actions of prayer and petition and thanksgiving, we do so to connect with Him. And then peace comes as a result, right? Peace is a result of the relationship. Prayer, petition, thanksgiving, these are relational qualities. So peace comes as a result of this transformation we experience as the Holy Spirit shapes our hearts and our perspective, and it realigns our thoughts. Our troubles still stick around, right? That's the result of sin in a broken world. But the Spirit gives us new eyes to see and gives us the peace of Christ that guards our hearts and calms us and changes our outlook. And so my hope for you this Advent season is that you would experience both the practice and the power of peace, not only during Advent, but beyond as we look to a future of eternity with Christ. Speaking of a future of eternity with Christ, the last way that we see peace manifested is the peace still to come. So far, we've looked together at the peace with God, right? And then peace within. But what about peace without? Or, I mean, what about the situations we can't change and the relationships that are broken? the chaos that we can't calm, the hurt we can't heal, the violence that we don't understand. What do we do with the need for peace in our world? So this, again, is where we recognize this three-pronged nature of the Advent season. We wait for Christ's arrival at Christmas. We live in this gift of peace in the present. And then at the same time, we wait for His return. This season is about waiting. The peace we long for in our world is a peace that's still to come. It's the final restoration that God has promised, but not yet been realized. So, in the meantime, we wait. We wait for the longing for the day when God's peace is going to rule over the whole earth. Until then, we have these words that Jesus spoke to His disciples. They're on your screen. These are words that we can hold on to until we see Jesus face to face. In John 16:33, He says to His disciples, I've told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Again, we see God's recognition of this brokenness that we live in and this trouble that sometimes surrounds us. He knows. He knows because He walked it. He lived it. He went through it. He understands how and why we can become discouraged. He's not angry. He understands. But God is here. He encourages us to remember the person of peace, the Prince of Peace. And in Him, we have peace with us peace with us in the form of the person who is Jesus. Now, we also have access to peace within, and then there's the final peace to come. It's both final and infinite, going on forever. So in closing, there's peace for today. And there's peace that is a complete peace that is yet to come. And in the time between, we trust in Jesus' promise that He has indeed overcome the world. And in the meantime, we return to Jesus. It's a similar process to what Paul described in Philippians 4 that we read earlier. It's a continual returning and renewing and prayer and petition and thanksgiving. It's a renewing with God daily. And it's deepening our relationship with Him, and it shapes us and it holds us and carries us to all that we are wanting to experience and anticipating and longing for. So where is your chaos today? Where is your warfare? Where is your unrest? Maybe it's internally. Maybe it's you're at unrest within. Or maybe there's some situations that you just can't control and you are waiting for that perfect peace to come and make everything new. Let me encourage you that the peace of Jesus is greater. His peace is more powerful than whatever it is you're dealing with. This is the peace that I long for. So as we celebrate the Advent season of waiting, let's recognize that while we wait with longing for God's peace to be made perfect in our world, we need to remember that the peace of Christ is also here and now, and we have access to it. It's available to all. Not everything is going to be perfect, but there is access to peace in the meantime. So in closing this morning, listen to these words from the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. It says, "Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you." Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank You for Your peace. Thank You for being a God that doesn't make us climb the mountain. You don't rely on our deeds. We don't get Your peace by going through a checklist. You came down to earth so that You could know us personally. And that is how we receive our peace, is just to know You. What a good feeling this morning. Because we don't qualify, God. We're not good enough. We thank You for Christmas. We thank You for the Advent season, for this this long-awaited arrival of Jesus. We thank you for his Spirit that we get to walk through life with and be guided, directed by, and also transformed into a more peaceful person, no matter what our circumstances are. God, help us to lean on that trust, or on that peace, to trust that your peace is more powerful, that there's no situation that you won't provide us peace in if we just lean into you. God, we thank you for this truth this morning. We thank you for this gift of peace. Help it to outweigh any other gift that we could receive this Christmas in our mind. Your hope, peace, joy, and love and presence are what is important, and it's why we celebrate. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. The worship team's going to sing a song. The altar's here always open. If you felt God speaking to you this morning and you'd like to respond, it's a great place to do that. I just ask that you'd stand, you'd sing with us, you'd use these next few moments to reflect and to worship.